Just turn to Isaiah 55. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just have your way. You are the great teacher, and I'm asking for you just to teach through this vessel. I surrender to you tonight. And I ask, Lord, for your will and your way, for your words and your heart, for your children tonight. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. You know, that's an interesting word, ho. It's kind of like hey in our language. It's a way to get your attention. You know, he's saying, listen to this. Make sure you pay close attention. You, everyone, and this is all. This is an all-inclusive invitation. You, whoever you are, whosoever will. That's the gospel, amen? I'm so thankful that we serve a God that does not separate. We see so much division in this world, all the racism and all the things that are being fed into by the media and by different people. And yet, in the eyes of the Lord, male, female, races, doesn't make a difference. We're all children of God if we accept Jesus Christ, and this invitation is for whosoever will. This is to all. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we can even, in our own thoughts and mindsets, because of the things that are happening in life, we can have maybe an attitude against Muslims or different people, different races, because of the things that are put there on the media, and yet the Lord says, no, this is for all. And, you know, a Muslim gets, well, I'm kind of cutting out here. I'm not sure if maybe the battery's going. Is that what that means? I'm looking at Gil. let me grab Pastor Jeff's here. Testing. Am I on? Okay. Yeah, bring it up just a little bit. I don't know where Nick is. But anyways, if we're not careful, we can have an attitude against the different races and even believe in our heart that maybe a Muslim can't get saved. But there's been multitudes that have, and it shows that this gospel can cross lines of race. It can cross lines of false religion. It can get into the heart of any man, woman, or child. It is not a respecter of persons, and I am so thankful that this is a universal invitation. No one is exempt. It applies to all. It is available to all and to all who need it, and that means everyone. Amen. We all need this. Amen. Hallelujah. For those who are thirsty, this thirst indicates an intense desire, but also the intense need of man. This is an invitation to those who is experiencing the dryness of this world. And we're looking for something more in those that are open to the salvation message. Hallelujah. You know, when we first heard the gospel, we weren't so open to it, were we, Doug? And it took a while, and there was those that would plant, and there was those that watered, but it was God who gave the increase. And I believe that even for the church, for this church, the way this church is going to grow is for those who are willing to go out of the walls of this church and are willing to give this invitation to whosoever will. And you plant and you water, and then God gives the increase. It wasn't a one-time deal for Doug and I. You know, I grew up hearing about Jesus. My grandmother was saved, and she loved the Lord with all of her heart, and she always talked to us about Jesus. And so I had an idea of how to get saved. She always just said, Vicki, just give your heart to Jesus. Just surrender to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. And, you know, there was a time that I did say that to the Lord, and then I walked away from it. But then later, when my husband had given his heart to the Lord, it's kind of funny because my brother Jeff, he prayed that I wouldn't hinder him when he got saved, you know. And I'm, you know, if you're not careful, you can get a little offended at that. What do you mean hinder him? What would I hinder him from serving the Lord? But, you know, he knew what he was talking about. Because it's very simple to, as an unbeliever, to hinder the saved spouse. But we gave our heart to the Lord that very same day, and that night we got water baptized the same night, and 3 months later we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. So, you know, the Lord has been gracious, and you know, I find that to be special, that, you know, we surrendered on the same day we were water baptized, and then we got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Together, and we're still together, amen, and still serving Jesus together, and that's quite a testimony in this day and age too. Because some people after 30 years are not serving Jesus anymore. The things of this life have torn them out. The things of this world has consumed them, and it is very easy to get yourself so wrapped up in the things that are happening in life that it can pull you right out of the gospel. It can pull you out of God's will and his plan for your life. It can get you off track. And, you know, I'm seeing that now in a certain situation, and it troubles my heart because, you know, when you see someone who had served the Lord and now they're in a place of almost being shipwrecked and really wavering in their faith, it concerns you, you know, and you don't want to see anybody lose their ground or their footing in the Lord. And, you know, Scripture says that those who are spiritual were to encourage them and to build them up and to pray for them and to... as much as lies within us to speak life to them and restore such a person. And that is also our call in the body of Christ, is to restore those who maybe have walked away or are struggling with the faith. So those who are thirsty, he's saying, you know, everyone who is thirsty, come. And, you know, the thirsty... I think that in walking in the Lord, we can start out really hungry, and we can start out really thirsty. And through time, we can lose that drive. If we're not careful, we can lose that first love. And life, again, can consume us, and we can get so off track, and we can forget that the Lord has living waters for us. That there is an abundant supply that never ends. It is continual. We will never drink up all of God's water, because it is an abundant supply that flows down from the throne of God to the hearts and the lives of his people. And it flows out even to those who don't know him. He's reaching out to them and he's saying, come. You know, those who are thirsty, come. Come and take of these living waters. This is waters that will give to you life. The natural water. We can be thirsty in the natural sense. And we can drink and drink and drink. And sometimes feel like we're not going to be satisfied because we're so thirsty. But when it comes to those things of the Spirit, when we drink of the living waters of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit, we find within ourselves a stirring, and we find within ourselves a fire for the Lord, and there's a refreshing that comes from that, and we can receive healing from that. We can receive restoration. We can receive deliverance. We can receive new insight. You know, things of this world can cloud our judgment. It can cloud our vision, and we can lose sight of what is important. And, you know, we can get into the gerbil wheel, I always call it. It's like you feel like you're seeing the same thing over and over and over. And in the things of the Spirit, it can feel like it's dry in the house of the Lord. And the truth of the matter, it isn't, but we just need to drink, and we just need to partake, and we just need to step into the rivers. You know, so many people, I see it, in, you know, when I got saved, we got saved in the 80s, it was like you were so hungry and you were so thirsty and you wanted more. There was just, I need more of the river. I need more of his Spirit. I need more of what he has for me. And you're just so hunger. And it's like you just want more. Just give me more. Just give me more. Like little pigs, you know. It's like my little granddaughter, Sadie, you know. We went to the eye doctor the other day and I had to watch her while Jackson was getting his eyes checked. And she has this habit of she kind of gets her tongue in the way, and so sometimes she chokes when you're giving her the bottle. And so anyways, I'm giving her the bottle and she kind of starts gigging. I'm like, oh boy. And she's been doing this and all over the floor, and it's like, oh boy, you know. And so I felt really bad, but somebody came and cleaned it up, thank you, you know. And but anyways, so I'm holding her and she's turning in on me. I'm like, and you women know what that means, turning in on you. And I'm like, you want to drink some more? And just like, she didn't care if she threw up, she just wanted more. So I gave her some more and she finished and she kept it down, thank you Jesus. But you know, when you're a baby, you're hungry and you're thirsting. And us old coots, we can get older in the things of God and somehow lose sight of what is important. You know, I love my children, I love my grandchildren, but if you're not careful, that can be priority. You know, for you right now, Andrew, you've got the school, you got all the things that are going on, and right now that's priority. That's just, you know, and so it's so easy because that's priority and it demands so much time from you that we can forget to take time and just drink of the living waters that are so freely given to those who believe. And so I'm compelling you, take time to drink of the living waters. Take time in his word. Take time in prayer. Take time just to sit and worship. For me, I love just to sit at the piano and I will worship and I'll begin to pray in the Spirit. And next thing I know, the presence of the Lord is there. And for me, that's the way I do it. That's how I just fill myself up. And, you know, and the word starts stirring. And you know, for others, you know, it may be something else. It may just be taking the drive in the car and just begin to pray in the Spirit. My mother always said her sanctuary was her car. She would drive over. She lived in Fond du Lac, so she would drive over and she began to pray in the Spirit and she began to cry out to the Lord. And by the time she got to church, she was so filled and satisfied. But you know what? She drank more. You know, and so there's always more. There's always more. And God wants us to receive the fullness of what he died for. He wants us to receive everything he paid for. Everything he paid for. You know, it's not just salvation, and it's not just healing, and it's not just deliverance. Sometimes it's just those times of refreshing that comes from the Father. That time of just nurturing us and comforting us. You know, you can go through life with, I'm sure I shared this. I went through a five-year trial, and I'm sure none of you have ever went through a five-year trial. Has anybody gone through a five-year trial? I'm sure we all have in certain things. Some might be a 20, some might be even a 30-year trial on a situation. But during that time, what I did, and I would not suggest for any of you to do, is I withdrew. And I put up a wall. And what we have to do is sometimes when we're putting up a wall because we don't want to get hurt. We're putting up a wall because we don't want anybody to get too close. We're putting up a wall because we don't want anybody to see. But what we have a tendency of doing when we put up that wall is we also put up a wall against God. Because when you shut yourself up, It does not make a difference who you're trying to shut out. You're going to shut everybody out. And when I withdrew, I remember Mary saying, you know, when I finally came through this, thank you, Jesus, that he tore down these walls and that deliverance came and that healing. Because, you know, really what it was, I was wounded. You know, when you're in the pastoral position, my husband and I pastored for 15 years, things happen. You know, things come against you. And what I had a tendency of doing, or what I ended up doing, is because I was so wounded, I put up that wall. And I kept those that were important to me in the house of the Lord, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and those who we were called to nurture, I kept them at arm's distance. And I remember coming through it, my friend Mary, she said, "I'm so happy to have you back, Vicki." She says, "Vicki's back." And I didn't realize. When you're going through those things, you don't realize people lose out. You lose out. You don't realize when you shut down and shut off that river of life that is supposed to come and flow within you freely is supposed to also come out of your life and flow into the lives of people freely. And when we get older in the Lord, we can stop the flow of the invitation of the gospel. We can stop the flow of opening up our hearts and reaching out to people. You know, those that are in the body of Christ. You can shut down and shut off, but I'm compelling you tonight. If there's something you need to be healed of, come to the living waters. If there's something that is in the way, whether it's, you know, Scripture says lay aside the weights and the sins. They're not all sins. Sometimes they're just weights. Lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. My kids wounded in the house of the Lord. Not on purpose by anything that people did on purpose. What it was is they saw the things we were going through. They saw the hurts. They saw the rejections. They saw the things that happened. And because of that, you know how it is. When somebody hurts your loved one, especially us mamas, you know, we get up, you know, don't touch our babies. But your kids can do that with you too. They can put up that and say, "Hey, don't be messing with my mom and dad." But nevertheless, just to be careful, and really this isn't my message, but if the Lord's leading me this way, then so be it. If there's something you need to be healed from, just come to the living waters and receive that refreshing today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's saying, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. Come to the waters of life freely. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. She says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, actually, this wasn't that scripture. This is a different scripture. This was actually at the feast. Jesus stood and crying and saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this, actually, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. But within us, there are rivers of living water. Those are those things that the Lord has given to us, the ability to reach out and touch the lives of other people, to be stirred when we need to be stirred, to be refreshed when we need to be refreshed, to receive healing, to receive restoration, whatever it is, just give it to the Lord today, and he will definitely move on your behalf. Come. It says three times this word is used to highlight God's offer of salvation and of a life that is truly satisfying and meaningful. God says, come. He says, "I have what you need, and I want you to have it." So he's saying, just come, just come, just come. And, you know, again, the invitation to come expresses the loving heart of God. God wants us to experience his love, his comfort, and his provision. In Revelations 22:17, it almost mimics this scripture out of Isaiah, and it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' And whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely." And again, it's kind of like, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. I know that this is not anything new to you. This message is not anything new. It's the living waters of the Lord. But in it all, he just keeps on saying, come, come, come. Come and receive of the refreshing of the Lord. I know for myself, if I have been weighted down by the things of this life, all of you have been weighted down. A lot of us are carrying things concerning our children, maybe concerning our parents, concerning just loved ones in general, the church thing, the financial thing, whatever it is. And the Lord just keeps on saying, come. Just come. Just come and keep on coming. And don't forget that when you come, we come with a surrendered heart. And we just say, Lord, I need, I thirst, I want, I long. Whatever it is, Lord, I need. And the Lord is always there, so willing to allow those rivers of living water to flow. So he says, come to the water. This is a type of the abundant blessings of Christ and of the fact that only the salvation of God as revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ and the Word can truly satisfy the thirst and needs of man. We can look to all kinds of things to try to fill and to try to satisfy. We can keep on going shopping. We can buy another pair of shoes. Man, you can keep on going hunting. Get a truck. I'm thinking. Whatever it is. But really, the only thing that will truly satisfy that which is in the heart and a woman, of a man and a woman, is the Lord. And you know, I've been in the world. I've done that. I've been in sin. I've been in drugs. I've been in alcohol. I've been in perversion. I've been in all kinds of ungodly things. And you think it's filling and you think it's satisfying, but let me tell you, it's not. Because when you finally come to those rivers and truly understand the grace of God and the price that Jesus paid for us at Calvary, you truly understand that only he can satisfy. Those things that I wanted to quit. You know, we've shared this testimony before with Doug and I. You know, we were alcoholics. If we weren't careful, we were on our way to where his brother is. His brother is an alcoholic who lives on the streets in Green Bay. I think now he's probably getting some supplement, and I think they have him in some type of a home. He's my age. He's 51 years old. Has lived out on the streets 25 years. Can't quit drinking. Can't quit getting out of jail. Next thing you know, every time we turn around, he's in jail for something. Doug had said to him, you know, we think, don't you see? And he's saying, don't you think that a lot of your problems, Billy, is the alcohol? Nah, it's what people do. It's like, okay. You know, you can point the finger, you can point the blame. And you know, the sad thing is he had given his heart to the Lord. He had actually given his heart to the Lord probably, what, 10 years ago? 15 years ago? It's been that many years. Holy smokes. And he actually was starting to walk towards the things of God. But then, You know what actually happened. He ended up in a legalistic situation and he ran. You know the legalistic system. All the rules and all the things, and yet you can't live it. And they're trying to tell you to live it, and yet you don't understand that it's Jesus that did everything. We just receive it by faith. But the laws of man hindered that walk, and now he's just walked away. And doesn't mean that God can't redeem and restore that. There is nobody beyond Jesus. You can run, but you can't hide. Amen? Ask me how I know. You can't hide from the Lord. He's, even if I make my bed in hell, Lord, you are there. Amen? It's like, it doesn't matter. The Lord will always reach out to the lost. He will always reach out to the backslider. That's God's love and mercy. So don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on the ones that have went astray. Don't give up on the ones that don't want to receive the gospel yet. Don't give up because God hasn't given up. Until their last breath, there is that chance that they will turn to the Lord. How many people, like the thief that was on the cross, gave his life to the Lord just before he died? Today you will see me in paradise. That's what Jesus said to him. And so we don't know those last moments in life. But all I know is that our God never gives up on us. So don't give up on them. That's some more encouragement there. So he says, come to the waters. You who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Okay, you don't have any money. How can you buy? You know what you buy with? A surrendered heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have nothing. I have nothing. All I have is my heart. And I surrender to him. And when I say yes to Jesus, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's all about the heart. And when we have a surrendered heart, that's how we can come and we can buy. But he doesn't just tell us to buy, he tells us to eat. So when we receive this gospel and we receive his salvation, eat of his word, learn of him, get to know him, know his heart for you, know his heart for other people. That's how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, can bring to remembrance. Is by us reading the word. And when we read the word, and when we're in a trial, when we're in a tribulation, when we're in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, we can say, it is written. If we don't know what is written, guess what? We can't say it is written. But when we get to know him, when we get to learn of him, when we get to understand his heartbeat, he wants us to understand all that he has for us. Too many of God's children don't know the word of God, and they're going and they're feeding over here and they're feeding over there, and they're feeding from that which is not bread. They're feeding from man's bread. And it's almost like the Wonder Bread. You just mush it. There's nothing to it. There's no life-sustaining power naturally speaking, in Wonder Bread. And I know people probably like Wonder Bread or whatever bread. Yeah, we grew up on it. But my husband, he likes New England brown bread. And there's only a few ingredients in it. But you know what? When you take a bite of that bread, you know you're eating bread, not dough. But it's good. You know, and there is something to bread. When you eat bread, there's something that... Have any of you have ever been on the low-carb, no-carb diet? I have. So you're eating the meat and you're eating the vegetables. But boy, when you can have that bread, oh, nummy, nummy, nummy. There's just something that goes... But there's something, they say when you eat carbs or you eat breads, there's something in the brain and something with the endorphins or something like that. You actually get satisfied. There's something that just, your body just goes, I like that with buttered noodles. and I've got to have grain in that stuff too. Give me something there. But there's just something to it. There's something that satisfies the natural man. So therefore, anything that is natural, we can also look and we can look at it spiritually and say, we need the bread of life. We need his sustaining force in our life. That's why it's so important to get into the Word and let the Word get into you, because it sustains you. It keeps you. It shows you where the enemy is at. And it shows you who the enemy is not. It's not your brother and sister in the Lord. It is the enemy of our soul. And realizing when we're going through a battle that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is so difficult at times when we're going through things, we want to put a face to it, don't we? We want to get upset with the guy next door or the, you know, whoever, your kids, whatever it is. We want to get mad, but there's a spiritual wickedness behind it. When those attacks are coming through people, we're not dealing with the person, we're dealing with a spirit. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We can't even destroy that with flesh and blood. We cannot destroy it with natural weapons. The only weapon of our warfare that we have, it's not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Whatever the battle is, recognize your enemy. It is Satan. It is principalities and powers of darkness, rulers of wickednesses in high places. Realize that enemy. Don't look at it as the person. Look at it as, what spirit am I dealing with? Lord, how do I deal with this situation? How do I pray about it? That's what the Holy Spirit is for. He teaches us how to war. He teaches us how to take authority. He teaches us to walk in faith. We fight that good fight of faith. But the Holy Spirit tells us how to pray. Sometimes I don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit within me begins to groan, and I begin to pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden there's a warfare that's going on, not between me and that, but it is through the Spirit. It's what the Spirit of the Lord is doing through me as the vessel who is yielding and willing to say, God, you do it. So often we try to figure it out. We try to figure out why. How come? Lord, if they would only. Don't they see? Don't they understand? No! They don't. And some have chosen to go into willful sin. Some have chosen, because of the hardness of their heart, to rebel against God and rebel against the Word. But even in that, they are in bondage. They are in darkness. They don't see. They don't understand. They don't perceive what is happening. They don't recognize that they're in the dark. They don't. And usually when they're in those places, guess what they do? They step back away from God. They step back away from the church. They step back away from Christians. They step back away from prayer and from the Word of God. They step back away. Because if they come too close to the light, then they're going to see what's going on inside of them. And then guess what? They're going to have to deal with what's going on inside of them. And sometimes people just don't want to deal with it. Sometimes they just like their sin. Some people like to be miserable. Some people like to be angry. You know, sometimes it feels good to get that pound of flesh. It feels good to get mad at my husband every now and then and just get a little crabby. Take that. We actually get along pretty good. Whatever. He's just kidding. Nevertheless, recognize your enemy. It's not people. It's what's ruling you. them. So we come with no money. We come, we buy, and we eat. We buy with a surrendered heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Wine and milk are portrayed under these two symbols. Wine was often used at a special feast and portrays the joy and the exhilaration which God's salvation brings. Milk portrays sustenance, that which nourishes and is nutritious and is healthful. Wine and milk are symbols of complete satisfaction. It is God's salvation and its blessings and its blessings. Water is needed to maintain life, but wine and milk strengthen, cheer, and nourish. You know, we sang it tonight, the river of God sets my feet to dancing. The river of God fills my heart with cheer. The river of God fills my mouth with laughter. And we rejoice, for the river is here. The river is here. The river is in us. The river is flowing. And so we can rejoice. We receive the wine of his Spirit. There's just something, a joy that comes. You know, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole. My friends don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. It's bubbling, it's bubbling. You know, you start singing that. Next thing you know, you're, oh, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. My son-in-law always laughs. He says, oh, there she goes. I start doing the jumping and the bouncing and the turning. You know, there's just something about it. When you recognize there is the Holy Spirit within you, that living water within you that wants to bubble up to overflowing. Hallelujah. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Not a trickle, not a stream, but a river. This thing is gushing. It's teeming with life, as that song was. You know, there's just something that's just flowing out of us. And God wants us, our hearts to be stirred. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants to nurture us. He wants to sustain us. He wants us to be satisfied. How long has it been since you've been satisfied? How long has it been since you've been satisfied with the things of God? Or have we compromised? Or if we become apathetic, it just doesn't quite move me anymore. Sitting on the back row saying, bless me if you can. How long has it been? How long has it been? Hallelujah. It's bubbling, in my soul. Go home and sing that tonight. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole. My friends don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night, and then you can't stop. It's bubbling, it's bubbling. I sing it to my granddaughter, and she just giggles at me. But it's just like, and then I start, and then it's like, Grandma, stop! Grandma, stop! Stop singing, Grandma. It's like, nope, can't stop. It's bubbling, it's bubbling. Hallelujah. Grandbabies are wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Do I have a witness in the house? Grandbabies are wonderful. Hallelujah. Okay, where am I? Carbonated Jesus, there you go. It's Jesus juice, but it has nothing to do with what Michael Jackson was talking about. The spiritual blessings of the gospel are meant to denote abundance. It is an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy an abundant life in Christ. Hallelujah. It expresses the grace of God in its fullness. Jesus said, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. He wants us to enjoy the abundant life that he paid for. How can I say that? If you pay for something, you know, and I've had this, I bought a gift and I paid for it and I gave it. And it was like, oh. And I was so excited to give it, but it wasn't really received with all that great. You know, next thing you know, you see it at the rummage sale that they had 6 months later. You think I'm kidding? I'm sure you probably had that done too. But you bought this and you're so excited. You paid for it. You gave it. And it was like, oh, that's nice. Don't do that to Jesus. And I know it's far beyond. He bought it. He paid for it with joy. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He was so excited to do it. Yes, it was painful, and yes, he suffered beyond anything we could ever comprehend. But he did it with joy. He's so excited. He's saying, come, drink, take of these waters of life. They're there for you freely. Receive this gift. Enjoy this gift. And don't put it on the shelf. Enjoy it. Enjoy the abundant life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money? Literally, it says, why do you spend money for something that is not bread? In other words, it will not nourish or sustain you. In the Hebrew, it says, why do you weigh out money for the not bread? For the not bread. Is that strange? Or it's not bread. Why do you spend money? Why do you give your heart and your life to things that is not the living bread? Bread it symbolizes the support of life and whatever contributes to man's support, happiness, or comfort. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? In this regard, what man finds is really not bread. What we look for, what we try to receive to sustain us, it's just futility. And futility is fruitlessness, it's pointlessness, uselessness, and vanity. Living in a sphere of emptiness, it denotes an ignorance of divine things and moral blindness. Man's attempt to satisfy his own needs will desperately fall short. We can find all kinds of things to try to fill us up and to satisfy. And why do you labor for that which satisfies not? In other words, why do you spend your hard-earned money on something that will not satisfy? And we've done that. You know, I've done that. The wages, actually, the labor is the toil and the labor. Our wages are the result of our toil and work. And we will also find this in a works mentality to get what we can only receive by faith in the finished work of Christ. We've done that. I've done the works mentality. I've labored. I've tried to strive. I tried to perform my way to happiness. And you know what? The more I performed, the more I was under law, the more I tried to earn salvation, the worse it got, the farther away from God I got. And I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it. I thought I was doing good. I thought, it's like Paul, who was killing Christians, thinking he was doing God a favor. I didn't go to that degree, but you think you're doing God a favor. You're thinking, I'm gonna be on fire, and I'm gonna you're doing it all in your flesh, and all you do is you burn out, and the next thing you know, you find that you're not even close to God, because you're no longer receiving it by faith. You're trying to work it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Scripture in Matthew 11:28 through 29 says, come unto me. And this reveals Jesus as the giver of salvation. Come unto me, ye, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, as those that are trying to earn salvation by works. So if we come unto him, all you who are in those places of trying to work your salvation, he said, come, and I will give you rest. You know, it is wonderful to rest in the finished work of Christ. it is a wonderful thing. Because you find that when you rest in the finished work of Christ, that you no longer have to make it happen. You know, we can get in that wheel of trying to make things happen. But if we trust the Lord and we allow Him to work through our life, again, it's like filling this church up. As we plant and we water, God will give the increase. And I believe that God will add to this church as many as should be saved. But we have lost, maybe not all of you, some of us have lost the vision of souls. I had a friend, her name was Lily. She was a little firecracker, about this tall and stout. She was a German girl. Loved the Lord, but I'll tell you, she witnessed to a dog if it stayed there long enough. She witnessed to everybody. She was in the hospital left and right. I mean, I don't remember how many doctors and nurses got saved. People that were in their hospital. I mean, if you were put in her room, unbeknownst to them, you were going to get witnessed to. And 9 out of 10 times, they said yes to Jesus. She was an evangelist at heart. Scripture tells us, do the work of the evangelist, wherever it is, whatever it is. If you tracks, if it's just talking to people, getting to know people, little by little you start sharing. And like I said, it took us probably about 6 months before we finally said yes to Jesus. Don't be disgruntled if they don't surrender to it the first time you talk to them. Because it does take the planting and the watering. And you know what? The ones that are, it takes planting and watering, those are the ones that are truly going to make that decision by faith to say yes to Jesus and surrender, because they know what they're surrendering to. I've seen a lot of people just say the sinner's prayer, but there was never a change. There was no true repentance. There wasn't a true fruit of salvation because they felt the pressure and they did it. In other words, be wise. Be wise in how you share the gospel. Hallelujah. Hearken diligently to me and eat, ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness or in abundance. 55:3, I'm going to close up here. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Hear the gospel message. Hear what I'm saying tonight. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight to all of us. Hear, incline your ear. You know, it's kind of inclining, you're listening intently. You're kind of, it's almost like a tipping of the ear. It's like, what are they saying? You ever been in a restaurant or something and you hear a name that's familiar and you're kind of, huh? They're talking about so-and-so. And so you kind of incline your ear. You're listening intently. No, we never do that. We've never done that, have we? We're human, come on. We all still have some flesh in us, don't we? But you do, you incline your ear to hear. You want to hear what's being said because, you know, you're just curious. That's our nature as human beings. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Hear this message, hear the gospel, receive the gospel, respond to the gospel. Hallelujah, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit that makes us alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That was Jesus' words. And he had said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Deny your own willpower, your own self's will, your own strength, your own ability, but depend totally on Jesus Christ. Take up his cross, the benefits of the cross, looking exclusively to what Jesus did there to meet our every need. And follow me. And follow me. Hallelujah. This gospel is for whosoever will. And I'm going to close with this scripture. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Hallelujah. We have an abundant supply, a river that flows from the throne of God. Can never, never, ever use it all up. It is forever and it is eternal. Amen.